second with the Ralph Winterroth Show for the second hour, and I have Dolores Wilson. She does foster care out of Florida, and she had a child that was basically suffocated in her home, which is a shocking thing. And I've got just a couple more questions, and then we're going to go on to the IRS for the rest of the hour. When you tried to bring some of this out, did they, did child custody or anybody from the state do anything to try to keep you from talking about this?
Well, a terrible thing happened. About 2 months later, after I had been cleared by Child Protection Services even, I had custody of my grandchildren, and they went to the people who had my who were in charge of my grandchildren under foster care and told them that they needed to be removed from my home. They did everything they could to me. They took my foster care license. They did everything, even though I had been proof. You all know that it takes only one child protection officer to take your child away. But when you've been cleared by four child protection officers, hey, that tells you right there somebody's trying to send a message to you and still take your child. You know, of course, I became a very angry grandmother who got them back within 3 weeks. But the thing is, I was so scared I didn't talk about this until my grandchildren were completely out of the foster care system and I felt they were safe.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I had to
totally
wait.
Out of the foster, how did you get them totally out of the foster care system?
Just did everything they wanted, you know. They want dancing chickens. Well, sometimes that's what you have to be, is a dancing chicken. You have to do what they want you to do, and then you get your kids back. Then you could fight back after you get your kids back. And this is, you know, that's what we did. We just I stayed quiet. I didn't talk about the child dying. It never came up in the news. And, you know, they had me come to a hearing and took my license. They did everything to me that they could do. And when I had a chance to appeal my license, I had 30 days to do it. My paperwork never came to me till 44 days later, so I couldn't appeal it. They've just, that's one of the things I talked about in front of this panel, and they were very upset over this attorney who did this. So I don't know what's going to happen to him, but I've heard rumors that, you know, they're going after him, and I hope they do, because what he did was wrong.
Do you have a license now?
No, I don't. That's what I'm fighting for now. I haven't done anything wrong, so therefore, I want my license back.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a good foster parent for over 10 years. I have awards I've won. I have, you know, things that people have said about me, what a great foster parent I am. And therefore, I feel that my name has to be cleared, and I will fight until it is.
Well, see, this is the sad part that I'm seeing is you got your grandchildren back, which means the premise to take them was all smoke and mirrors. It's strictly a vindictive, and this is what they do to people if you tend to speak up and let the general public know what's going on.
Well, that's the thing right there. I kept questioning this child's death, and the more I questioned it, the more trouble I got into. And I feel this is wrong. This is why we need this foster parent's Bill of Rights. And if there's any foster parents out there in the state of Florida who would like to tell me their story so I can get this before this group, just my...
Do you have a number or a contact number you want to put
out? I have
an
email.
Okay, you want to give the email?
Yes, it's Faith, F-A-I-T-H, dot D-J Wilson, at yahoo.com.
Okay, I'll put that out on my list. Go ahead.
And then my name is DJ Wilson, and there's a dot after Faith. And I would love to hear from foster parents who have had the same problems I've had, how they've come down on them. They don't have to sign up if they don't want to. Just give me their what city and maybe some information like that, that I could pass all of these letters on to, so we can get this foster parents' Bill of Rights through and protect our good foster parents.
Hold on just a minute. We're going to go to the IRS, but we're going to break. I got just one more thing, and we'll clarify the email, and then we'll go on to the IRS. Hold on just a moment, Dolores. We're going to break again.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
This is Ralph on the Winter Road, back with the Ralph Winter Road Show, and I have Dolores on out of Florida, and I just wanted to make sure that her email is out there. She's willing. She's working with the panel to try to improve the child custody situation in Florida, and heaven help us. It needs a lot of help, and it's Faith, F-A-I-T-H dot D-J Wilson. That's Delta Jack Wilson, so it's faith.djwilson at yahoo.com. So, state again the people that you would like to have email you, Dolores.
I'd like to have foster parents out there who are frustrated and thinking about leaving the foster care system because they are frustrated, and we need to help them by getting this Florida Foster Parents Bill of Rights put through so we could have good foster parents instead of the ones we end up with. And I would like to hear their stories so that I could pass them on to the right people for the senator that I'm working with and things. So if you've got a story, just email me, and I'd love to hear from you. And God
okay,
be with you.
Well, Dolores, I thank you for coming on the show and sharing this thing. I know it's a heart-rending thing to have a child basically be strangled in your care, but
she was suffocated, not strangled, but yes, it was hard. It took a lot out of me this past year. It has taken a great deal out of me. I can't sleep. It's really been really bad.
Yeah, I wasn't strangled. I'm sorry, it's a misstatement. Suffocated by the pillow
right.
issue. Well, anyway, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing it with you. And if anybody has got any, just email Dolores or Ralph at justbelly.com, J-U-S, BELLI.com, and I will forward them down to Dolores. And thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. When we talk about for the rest of the time that I have allotted here, and I encourage people, if you want to hear some of these true stories, and I'm going to be telling you some amazing things about the Internal Revenue Service, and we'll probably really be getting into the IRS next week. I've got another guest I'm trying to locate that's about Muslims and Christian stuff. I'm trying to get her located, but anyway, I'm going to talk about the IRS. It's absolutely astounding. I have got the one book done that I've got it, Whistler 34 in the world, and I've got this done, the total overthrow of our constitutional republic in the court systems in 1948. And an extremely interesting case we went up on appeal. And I just provide research. I'm not attorney or counsel at law, so I provide information to people, and if they choose to modify it or file it or whatever, that's up to them. But in this particular instance, a habeas corpus ad subjunctium was filed in the true District Court of the United States, and it was recast from the civil side to the criminal, and then this was appealed up to the appellate court. Actually, to the 10th Circuit, I can say that. I don't want the party's name out there because I don't have his permission. He doesn't want his name out there. But went up there, and we had a habeas, and there was also an irregular appeal. And, of course, in 1911, the Circuit Court of the United States that exercised judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States was abolished. And they moved the, quote, power, judicial power of the United States into the District Court of the United States. It's quite interesting what these guys did. And then in 1948, they bring this issue up. So now, of course, I'm going to back up here. In 1911, they created a new court called the Circuit Court of Appeals, which is strictly equity and admiralty. It doesn't say anything about a Circuit Court of the United States. It's just the Circuit Court of Appeals. It's a constitution that does not, it's a court that does not arise under Article 3. And so anyway, we get up to 1948, and what they did there is just absolutely astounding, what these guys have gotten away with. And when I make this book available, it's so that you can word search it and print it out. It's absolutely astounding what these what Congress did in 1948. They did a total overthrow and created. The only way that I can visualize it is it's like entering a wormhole or a portal into the land of Oz. They created a new system called the United States District Courts, and they did not. The key, though, they did not abolish the true district courts of the United States, because they must, under Martin versus Hunter Lessee, the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States must exist out there somewhere in some court. So they just quietly replaced the United States district courts. They just overlaid the district courts of the United States that has judicial power with something called the United States district courts. But the two killers, absolute killers, that it's when you start to understand this, you just cannot believe that we have gotten this far, and this hasn't been dealt with. They get around in this section, and they put in here that the judicial power is in the district court. And what we're taught is we always want to argue jurisdiction. Well, we have to enlighten ourselves and gain a little knowledge here and then some wisdom on how to argue with these guys, or actually how to understand what these folks have done. Because it isn't just about jurisdiction. If you really start to understand what's going on here, and the only way that I can think of it is to visualize it, there's a couple ways, is that Congress must create, like jars, they must create an office that's capable of receiving the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States. And Congress can create three types of idols, if you were, three types of offices, three types of courts. These courts are three types they create. They can only create the jurisdiction. They can never, ever, ever touch the judicial power. Supreme Court has ruled the judicial power is out of their authority. Because if they could, if they can modify the judicial power, we have no separation of powers. It's like the executive can't modify the legislative power, and the legislative power can't modify the executive or judicial. Today it's all blurred because we're in this big land of Oz, and we're not taught what's really going on. The issue is Congress, arising under the Constitution, can create Article I courts in the District of Columbia and out here in the hinterlands. They can create courts that are strictly... They don't have to create them. There could not be not one Article III court. They don't exercise judicial power. They exercise some administrative issue that Congress wants adjudicated. Typically a tax court. That's one. Court of Claims. That's Article I. They can do these courts. Now, the true Article III courts is arising under. They create the court, the jurisdiction for it. They can have a half a dozen courts, but they must, it's mandatory to create the courts with jurisdiction so that all of the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States can go into those courts. And it's in all cases in law and equity, all cases without exception. But the issue is that it exercises the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States. That's the killer. We also, Congress can create in the territories, they can create Article IV courts. Now, they're not capable of receiving, technically, the Article III judicial power of the United States because they're a territory. They're not able to receive it. They can make them look like it. They can make them, the district courts of the United States can look like an Article III court, but the Supreme Court has said they can't ever be that. They can only appear to be. Now, there's one exception to this, which is the District of Columbia. Supreme Court has ruled, which I agree with, that court can mix, have a true Article III court in it, and it also can have an administrative court all commingled together. Perfectly constitutional, because in the district known as the District of Columbia, Congress has plenary power. They operate as both one of the several states, and they operate as the federal government. So therefore, in that particular area alone, only in that area alone, can that court combined administrative and Article III powers, judicial power of the United States. Only court. So within that 10-mile square. That's it. Now, what Congress did in 1948, this is just absolutely astounding. Absolutely astounding. And I'm going to read out of this. And it's entitled 28, Section 132. There shall be in each judicial district a district court which shall be a court of record known as the United States District Court for the District. Okay, so we got a United States District Court. Now, they have not abolished the District Court of the United States. Now, but Section B, each district court shall consist of the district judge or the judges for the district in active service. Now, isn't that an interesting way to do this? Cite this. Justices or judges designated or assigned shall be competent to sit as judges of the court. Bunch of hogwash. But the one that there's two that really blow these guys out of the water. And I hear the sound of the music, so I don't want to get started on this next one. And I'll be back in a minute, and we'll continue forward with two issues that these courts can't get around by a public record.
Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
This is Ralph Kermit Winterode II, The Ralph Winterode Show, True Seeker of the Far North, and talking about how they overthrew the Constitutional Republic and the court systems in 1948. And then I'm going to talk about a brief here, which is a really interesting situation that we got going here. But the thing about the territorial courts, and there are quite a few cases supporting this, the Hunters versus Martin versus Hunter's lessee is one that is right on point on this case as far as the territorial courts not being constitutional courts are not capable of having deposited the judicial or having receiving the judicial power of the United States. The judicial power of the United States deals only with law and equity, and it deals with all cases. Congress cannot limit the judicial power or control it. And when they start saying what cases can and cannot go there, and there's no place to do this, they're not a true Article III court. You got to be careful when you say this Article III. You always have to put the whole assemblage in there arising under Article III in all cases in law and equity, exercising the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States. But what really lets the cat out of the bag, there are two things in this book. It's a public record, and this is in Title 28, Section 132, and it's Section C. Except as otherwise provided by law, which means by Congress, or rule, or order of the court, judicial power of a district court with respect to any action, suit, or proceeding may be exercised by a single judge. Judicial power of a district court. There is no such thing under rising under Article 3. Osborne says the will of a judge doesn't exist in that court. He is only there to adjudicate according to the laws, the legislative power, and he's to be exercising the judicial power of the United States. This is an absolute killer, because it says here, otherwise provided by law, rule, or order of the court. Imagine that some rule, there are cases on that, Miranda's one of them, you can't have any substantive rights changed by a rule of court, or order of the court, or Congress can limit, and it says the judicial power of a district court. Does not say that in the Constitution of the United States. If you go to Article 3, I mean, the people that wrote that were quite knowledgeable on what's going on, and it says the judicial power, this is Article 3, Section 1, judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and such inferior courts as Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. Section 2, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution and the laws of the United States and the treaties, which shall be made under their authority. Semicolon. Quite clear, it's the judicial power of the United States, and this is the ruse that these guys, it's more than a ruse, it's beyond treason is what it is, because when I make this book available, there aren't a lot of them out there. I'm trying to get Title 18 now, and the other missing parts of this, there are four books of this other particular section I'm looking for, four books left in the whole world, four of them. This is just, this part is damning because it exists today, this what I just read. Imagine that the judicial power of a district court can be changed by law, which by Congress, or by a court rule, or by the order of the court. Imagine the court can turn around and change its own judicial power. And it goes in farther. So now, starting back, we have, except as otherwise provided by law, rule, or order of the court, the judicial power of a district court with respect to any actions, suit, or proceeding may be exercised by a single judge. Now, wait a minute here. He's not supposed to be exercising judicial power. That's not what's supposed to be happening. He's supposed to be, he is sitting there, and it's the judicial power of the United States, which is a law of the United States, and he's supposed to be totally independent of this whole thing. Totally independent. But here, Congress can change judicial power of a district court. How can that district court have judicial power? It doesn't. They want to play games with this stuff. It is not the judicial power of a district court. It's judicial power of the United States. That is what the Article 3 says. And that's the game on the judicial power. And Congress, if the Congress can change it and control it, or limit it, it's not judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States. That's not what's going on. The other thing that is really damning in this particular book, there's all kinds of, I mean, it's just, it's like a treasure chest. I mean, where do you go? But the thing is, to get to the seed of the root of the poisonous tree, the other one that is really important in this, that when they go to the revisor notes, they clearly articulate that these new United States district courts are combining the Territorial Court of Hawaii with this court, which is an impossibility. I hear the music, so we'll be back in a minute, and I'm going to go into this particular case and what they did in it, which is absolutely astounding. So we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
For a long segment here, this is Ralph Kermit Winter Road II, Ralph Winter Road Show, True Seeker of the Far North. Nice cloudy day, cool today, and we'll see here. The temperature today is 63 degrees. Nice weather for Alaska. That's one of the reasons why I'm up here. I enjoy the nice, cool weather that we have. As a matter of fact, when it gets to be about 75, actually, my air conditioning went out on my old, 1994 pickup, but, I actually use air conditioning at about 75. You get acclimated to it and, like this cool, climate up here. But continuing on about the Internal Revenue Service, there are absolutely killer issues that these courts can't get around. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with, some of these issues here. But the issue of the judicial power is well settled. There's no Martin versus Hunter lessee, and several cases have cited it since then. There is no way that Congress can control judicial power. If they have, we have no third branch, which, of course, we don't have today. It's sitting in the closet. The other issue is they cannot, under any circumstances, create a court that has territorial jurisdiction along with Article 3, judicial power of the United States under the authority. It can't exist. Another one of the reasons why this court can't exist and it's right out there for people that's under the Hayburn decision, is that when you go into the court, the legal duty must be explained. Because, first of all, Cheek says there's got to be a law. It's got to be definite. We have to find the law. And in the law, there must be a legal duty. Well, you can't have a legal duty without two people. It's got to be two parties, two of something. Otherwise, there's no legal duty. There must be a legal duty. Well, the problem that they run into in the game that they play, why they entitle 28, Section 2201, why they will not disclose who the legal duty is for the, quote, taxpayers, because it's prohibited in Title 28, 2201 of a taxpayer. And this goes back to the Hayburn case, is because in reality, of course, the IRS is not going to do this. You could be convicted of a criminal charge in the United States District Court, and the IRS could come along because they act as a court of errors, because the only, quote, entity that can determine if you're a taxpayer is posited over in an agency, and they could say, well, no, Ralph's not a taxpayer. And they're acting as a court of errors. So, therefore, that is another absolute killer issue that these courts can't deal with. And it's amazing. There's some very smart people have articulated this setup that we have today, and it gets quite confusing, but when you get down to the real basics and forget all the nonsense that they try to throw out in front to hide what they're doing, it gets quite clear. Now, this case here, this appellate decision, is extremely interesting because they talk about one of the issues that was brought up on the appeal and on the habeas was he's not a citizen of the United States. He's a citizen of one of the several states. And they come up and they do mention the citizen of Oklahoma. But what they don't deal with it, because when they get down a little farther, then they skip around over it, and there's never any determination made on citizen of the United States versus citizen of the several states. So they talk about a citizen of a state. That's not the issue. It's a citizen of one of the several states. A state is, again, is a word game that these guys are playing. Another interesting thing in this particular decision, it said it is well settled that a district court has personal jurisdiction over any party who appears before it, regardless of how his appearance is obtained. Now, isn't that an interesting statement? So they bring you in there in chains, and that means there is no writ of habeas corpus no more. Because a true writ of habeas corpus is a mandate to prove your jurisdiction by what authority you're there. And they're citing Title 18, 3231. That's absolutely, totally untrue. But in the world that they live in, that's what we have to understand. In the world that a circuit court, in a circuit court of appeals, lives in, that's true. Now, we filed this into the Circuit Court of the United States on the cover sheet. Did not file it into the Circuit Court of Appeals. We filed it in on the law side, which technically, though, if you can believe their 1911 code, which they say in the parts of this book that I'm going to be putting out, they talk about that everything has been prima facie evidence of law since 1878 revised statutes, including the revised statute of 1878. So that means that their title, their 1911 code, is all smoke too. And that was one of the issues. They wanted to, quote, create positive law. Well, they actually only created law, not positive law. That's what it says. Positive law is another whole issue. I'm going to take some time and take a show on that, because the only authority is laws of the United States, not positive law. Positive law is a tacit acceptance of something. But anyway, getting back to this brief here, this little short thing, it's only 3.5 pages. So they come down to the end, and they really don't address anything. They dance around a few things, and but just like this, if we get you in that court, it's got personal jurisdiction no matter how you got there. Well, obviously, the writ of habeas corpus ad subjunctum is a writ which is a mandatory. You got to prove your authority and your jurisdiction. But it got to remember, we've got two court systems going here, and one of them is rises under the Constitution. The other one is you've entered the land of Oz, and you can't win over there because Congress is the screenwriter. They're writing the script, and you're just a character in this fictitious land as a citizen of the United States. But where this case gets extremely interesting, and I'm going to read down here at the bottom, we are part of this ineffective assistance of counsel. It says, in rare instances, the ineffectiveness of counsel claim may need no further development prior to review on direct appeal. This exception is not applicable here. Our review would be much aided by the development of testimony and evidence, as well as the district court's resolution of the issue. This person's ineffective assistance of counsel claim will be dismissed. Conclusion. We dismiss the appeal from the dismissal of his habeas and ineffective assistance of counsel claim. So they dismissed the habeas. They combined the habeas and appeal together. And that one they latched on to the 2255, and that's the first problem that you run into is you can't do a true habeas, writ of habeas corpus, and use their Title 28 code when you really understand what's going on, because as soon as you address that, you've crossed the line back over into the land of Oz. But the real interesting part of this, let me read the last part of this. We dismiss this person's appeal from the dismissal of his habeas petition and ineffective assistance of counsel and affirm all remaining claims. In light of this disposition of these appeals, we also grant counsel's pending motion to withdraw. But they affirmed all remaining claims, every claim that we had made, every claim. Now, of course, you have to have the appellate brief to understand what all of these claims are. And I'm going to go through some of these claims. I'm not going to be putting this brief out right now. There's some issues in here that but we claimed that he is a free white citizen, American citizen, citizen of the United States of America, natural-born native of the state that he was born in, and he's a citizen of one of the several states. We talk about the circuit courts, the real true ones. Technically, they still exist, the true district courts of the United States. Got that all locked into here. That's all affirmed. And interestingly enough, in this particular case, the attorney happened to be Stilley, which is the person that did the PRA case, and where they got the win under Robert Lawrence. And he came down into this case, and they tried the same thing, and, of course, it's not going anywhere because that's really not the way to win this thing. There's so much to the PRA, that Paperwork Reduction Act. That's just not where it's going to happen, folks. There's an awful lot to that, some that I don't want to probably disclose because some of it I can't really prove. I don't have enough facts to bring it out, but anyway, one of the things that Stilley did that was good is he asked an IRS agent if they have to disclose the law to this party, and the IRS agent said no. Well, if you don't have a law, how do you determine there's a legal duty established in it, and how does it become known to you? Then they said, well, how about the legal duty? And the IRS agent says, well, probably. Can you believe this? This is the game that these guys are playing in these courts. At that point, the whole thing should have been over. Because if you don't have a law, you have to work. There's four parts of Cheek. You have to have a law. And it's got to be known. And there's got to be a legal duty established in that law. But then the third part is a known legal duty. We have to find out about it somewhere. And then, of course, the criminality side of this is to willfully not do a known legal duty. Well, if you can't make a determination of where the law is, then legal duty and a known legal duty, how do you know if you're going to violate it? That's reversible error. Now, in this case, I found, let me go back here to the case that's actually quoted this. And I'm going to read, this is a quote. This is a out of the Second Circuit, year 2000. And this is a quote. The existence of a known legal duty owed by a taxpayer is a question of law for the court. That's a question of law, end quote. The known legal duty. And why they don't disclose it is because they can't. The known legal duty, even though all these people are going across the internet and the Patriot community, I got a brief out of back east in another case, and it's absolutely right on. The known legal duty is setting in Title 26, Section 6012. And there is a substantive reg in it, 1.6012-1, under the statutory authority of Congress in 7805, which says to enforce it, they must have a regulation. IRS can't move without it. It's a mandatory in 7805, and it's a holding of the Supreme Court, not mere dictum, a holding. And it also quotes 6012. It wouldn't have to, but it does quote 6012, and it quotes another statute. And that is the will, and that's the statutory authority, and it has the force and effect of law, the same, just the same as Congress in this administrative state under Chrysler v. Brown. And that's a holding of the Supreme Court. It's held. That's as good as it's ever going to get. And the Tenth Circuit affirmed it all. What they would not do is they said, well, the known legal duty, because they put it to the jury, and that's in direct opposition to what was held in the Second Circuit, year 2000. And that particular case is U.S. versus Pirro, P-I-R-R-O, 2000. There's no getting around it. That's the Second Circuit holding. Well, that takes this whole thing down. But the legal duty is a question of law, and the known legal duty, and it's in cheek. There are four parts to that, and they cannot get around it. And also, another one of the issues that they agreed with is you must put in all of the exclusions for in the indictment, whether it includes you or not. Well, if it's only for citizens of the United States, they must put in that it excludes any citizens of the several states. And they waffle around in this particular decision, but they won't go there. They want you to believe their nonsense, but they won't address that issue. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. That was one of the things that they said is correct. And they said the law must be knowable. That was one of the things in the statute and the public's regulation, the subsidy regulation. They sustained that's true. And interestingly enough, because all of Cheek, and they can't get around Cheek. Cheek versus United States, that's 498 U.S. 192. And it's not disjunctive, which means you cannot separate it. You cannot. There are four parts. You must have a law. There must be a legal duty established in that law, and then there's got to be the two parties. That's the legal duty. And then it's got to be a known legal duty. The party has to know about it. And then the question is, did he willfully violate the known legal duty? And that court affirmed all of these, that it's all true. The interesting part is they did not say to remand. They didn't do anything. They just said, yep, everything you said is true. We're not going to grant ineffective assistance to counsel, and your statutory habeas in our world we can't touch. So we're going to make it a statutory, or your constitutional habeas we can't touch. We're going to do the constitutional one, which is what they did. They recast it to a motion, and then they said we're not going to rule on it until after sentencing. It's just absolutely it it shocks the conscience to what these guys are doing. But what's amazing is that most of what they say is true. But it takes understanding that our perception of what that court is and what it's really doing, they're telling us what they're doing. You go look at the rules on these courts that go up on the circuit courts. They don't talk about constitutional issues. They tell you right up front. They deal in statutory stuff. That's what they're there for. They don't say they have judicial power of the United States. They don't even claim it. What is astounding is that the judicial power is sitting in a judge. And that's in Title 28.132. Absolutely astounding. I mean, it just... So anyway, they have affirmed all of the subsidy regulations and the known legal duty, and I hear the music, and we're going to go to a couple of the other things that's in this that they've affirmed. And we'll be back in a minute.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Well, we're back from break. We're on the last segment of this. This is Ralph Kermit Winter Road. And, I mean, we have so much that was involved in this that the Tenth Circuit affirms. We're saying that the taxpayer, the status determination, divests as a true Article III court in all cases in law and equity, exercising the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States. And they say that's true. That was affirmed by the Tenth Circuit. How can they disagree? I mean, that's one of the things we've been working on this. I have with another party to provide some, but we're working on this to get this scalpel down to either say it's so or it's not so. And what they finally, what's so shocking, is they come out and said, yeah, you're right, but we're now. But they don't say anything what we're going to do about it. We've got also in this particular situation, we've got in here that the indictment has got to state all of the ultimate facts. And, of course, they don't do that either. They have to state all of the facts that they're going to prove. And they don't do it. And they get away with it. That's what's even more astounding yet. I don't know why some of these smart attorneys aren't doing well. I know why most of them aren't, because I've talked to a few of them, and they're just—they aren't going to do it because they lose their bar card if they put these issues in here. And you cannot put add words into the statute that are conclusions of law on the offense, and they do that all the time. And they did that in his case. They stated conclusions, and they left out the facts, and they affirmed that. That was another one of the issues that we brought up. And all of the elements not in the statute must be charged. They affirmed that. We also went into wages to show that the wages and all of that have nothing to do. They're under 6012. They affirmed that. The indictment must state all the particulars. They affirmed that. It says here the IRS is mandated to tax laws got to be stated in Title 26 using regulations. They affirmed that. They affirmed Title 5, the 552A1. There's got to be subsidy regulations. They affirmed all of that. We attached the cases, the tables, and most people, for some reason, and I can understand why, because they're difficult to locate. But there are subsidy regulation tables, and they are not the parallel table of authorities. That is a ruse. That goes absolutely nowhere. It's nice information, but you can't use it. It says so right at the top. The subsidy regulations is in Title 26, CFR 601.702. It tells you there are subsidy regulation tables, and there are three of them out there, one for Part 1, individual income taxes, one for Part 20, estate taxes, another one for Part 31 for employment taxes. And there's a bunch of CFRs that say they have to have the statutory authority. In parentheses, they have to have the word authority. We put in the information on the 6011. We put in the information on Chrysler v. Brown. That's all affirmed. This is going to be absolutely astounding. And hopefully this gentleman should be out of jail, I would like to think, within a month here, because we've got a couple of moves, and we're going to be moving on them. They also affirmed all of the status of your American citizen and all that. So anyway, I hear the music in the background, so stay tuned, and we'll be back next week with another guest, or I'm going to go in more in depth on what we're doing with this IRS and exposing the fraud and the treason. So we'll see you next week.
It's true.